This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 39, Dating Google.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our Games for Biz show. This is Phaedra Boynodiris, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Michael Rowe.
Thank you, Phaedra. And that's right, GamesAtWork.biz, our wonderful game business show. Business show for games, gaming show about business, I don't know. What the heck are we today?
we're talking about games. But today, actually...
Playing games. At work.
At work. But today's going to be a special show, Michael.
Yes, it will. On so many levels.
It's going to be a special show. Today, I wanted to kick off the show talking about Google Glass. Ooh. Now, I know, strictly speaking, there's no game about the interface for Google Glass currently. But I was
so
just,
you say.
So I say. But, you know, I've been reading some very interesting blogs about the potential for Google Glass.
Yes.
And do you remember a couple months ago we had a show talking about online dating?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's been interesting to see how many of these blogs are talking about the opportunity of using Google Glass for dating. Like, how would it enhance dating? And so reading some of these blogs, I started to think about what would some of the opportunities for creating games around Google Glass that you could actually use at work. And some of the ideas that people were coming up with in the world of dating, I thought were so interesting that maybe we could riff off of that for a bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting look at this.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to react immediately without even looking at any of the blog links or anything. So think about the superficial way that some people start their dating, right? And the fact that you're now looking through glasses, you know, you're able to see better, and some people just consider, you know, looks, only looks when dating instead of, you know, interests and commonalities and all this other crap. And I mean other crap in the nice way possible. So are we going to see another layer of just constant focus on trivialities because of this? Or are we going to see something else interesting? Because you'll actually be able to see their interests. Literally see their interests when you're looking at the person.
This is true. You'll potentially be able to gauge, oh, does this person like superheroes as much as I do?
Maybe they are a superhero.
But some other things that I thought were interesting about one of the blogs in particular I read was that the Google Glass could potentially work in both directions. So not only could the glass perceive what's going on, outside, but also be able to read how much your pupils have been dilated.
Ooh. So the Google Glass, you could actually, you know, almost have like a magnifying on the outside of the glasses that you don't see, but the person you're dating does that go, boom. Well, it'd be like one of those cartoons where the person sees somebody and their eyes bulge out.
Well, no, it was more like what this particular blogger was saying was when your pupils dilate because you actually think the person you're looking at is attractive, subtle way of letting the person know that you think they're attractive.
So you know that I know that you know, you know?
That lenses would change color.
Oh, cool. So depending on how the date's going, your eyes turn more red or more blue. Hey.
But I thought it was funny. I thought it was really funny. Just the idea that, oh, here's some level of perception. For those that are too shy to actually tell the other person that they're interested.
Right, right. So just imagine that you're in a sales meeting and you're talking with a customer, and as you're hitting certain key points in your product or your offering or your service, their eyes are changing color. So now you know those are the things that are important to that customer, and you can actually do a much better job of explaining the value of your product or service to that customer based off of what they're interested in.
Bingo. I really like that idea. Not only that, but can you imagine – I don't know how good your memory is, but my memory is lousy. It's those stupid Flintstone vitamins that I take. I think I just need to switch to the gummy bears. So I don't know if you do this at conferences, but sometimes I'll forget, you know, people's names. And so what I'll do, my trick is I go up to them and I'll take their like badge and I'll say, oh, where are you at now? You know, meanwhile, I don't even remember what their name is.
I haven't left anywhere. I've been the same name and the same person for the last 45 years.
Well, can you imagine with Google Glass, you know, it will recall, okay, here's who this person is. Here's the LinkedIn profile summary. You know, here's
connected
where they're
at now. Connected
to your
CRM system. These are the interactions you've had.
That's right. It will remind you. I think that could be pretty slick.
That would. But then, so I actually want a pair of Google Glasses because I think there's some really cool use cases. And you know, I'm a techno geek. I love new tech. I love playing with new toys, etc. But will it actually generate a level of fake sincerity, right? So I am, as we've said, horrible with names. I mean, I can meet somebody, shake their hand, they say their name, I say it back, and 30 seconds later, I know the person, I have no idea who what their name is, and I probably don't even know what company they work for.
You need to upgrade your vitamins too.
I do. But if I had these Google Glass capabilities, I would be sitting there and be constantly reminded and being able to, you know, look at the person, look in their eyes and actually, you know, slowly drift my eye up to the top right and go, well, John, you know. But so it would actually show a level of interest that may or may not actually be there. So you get a potential for fake sincerity. And you know, there's some people, and I work with this one guy, and he is just incredible at remembering names. You know, we'll go down to the cafeteria at lunch, and not only will he remember the names of random people that we walk by, but he knows every cashier, he knows all the cooks behind the stations, etc. And he remembers something little about them, too.
I think he's CIA.
I think he's CIA, too, because there's no way he remembers, you know, that this cook who served him a burrito 3 months ago has a kid who went to school who is currently having trouble with algebra 2.
He sounds like Jason Bourne in the Bourne Identity, you know, where he can just remember things within split seconds, like who's in the bar and, you know, whether he can take them down or not, or look at a map and figure
That's
out.
That's what it
know,
is. He's going to kill the chef. He's going to kill everybody in the cafeteria. That's the secret. You have to have a reason to go there, and it's certainly not the burrito.
He's casing it out for his
own. Like, okay, if I take this guy out and I do a karate chop to that guy and I do a backflip over there, I can take out the cashier with a kick, and then I can spin around and grab my Coke.
Exactly. You've outed him. You've outed him.
I've outed him. That's it. So what are some other interesting ways that you can see the technology in Google Glass being used?
Well, one of the things that I was reading about yesterday was the idea that with Google Glass, you would be able to manipulate objects without touching them. So, in other words,
kind of like the new Samsung S4, you can manipulate the screen of your smartphone without touching it.
This is true. But imagine just looking at the object. You're looking at the object and then you reach up your hand and you do some little swizzle. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it turns on or off. Who knows?
So it's the Minority Report interface realized.
That's what I'm thinking. I think that's where it's going.
And you know, I've been in so many discussions for the last, gosh, I can't believe I can say it now, 7 years with people who want to realize the Minority Report interface.
Wow, really?
It's been that long. And I think you hit it right on. It's the ability to manipulate data with touch. You really can't touch data, right? I mean, it's something that is conceptual in its physical essence, right? It's bits and bytes.
Right.
But it's that need, that desire to touch things, which is why now, you know, over the last 3+ years, the tablet market has completely changed because the interfaces have matured enough on iOS and on Android, on Windows tablets, Windows RT, to where you really are touching and manipulating data in a more natural way.
Truly, truly. And it's interesting. I mean, you had mentioned the Minority Report earlier, and it got me thinking just the influence of science fiction movies in terms of the direction of our technologies. You know, we first read it about it in books, we see it in movies, and the next thing you know, companies are saying, oh, here's our prototype for it.
Yep. Well, what do you think, to talk tech again, and I know this isn't our normal topic, but I'm sure we can make a game out of it. What do you think about all the rumors on the phone devices that, not phone, but the watch devices? I saw a thing today on Google is now supposedly working on an Android watch.
I haven't heard this. This is awesome.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me. It's not just that. It's not just, you know, Apple leaks that were supposedly around a flexible glass watch band, you know, kind of like the things they had in the 90s where you'd slap it on your wrist and it'd go snap and it would snap around your wrist. That supposedly that's the one that Apple is working on. But in the show that I'm doing in my copious free time, one of the cast members actually has a wrist cell phone. It's a wristwatch. That's a cell phone. And it's the second one she's had. And she actually takes calls on her wrist. And it's definitely the old Dick Tracy move.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. What was that movie? Total Recall. The last Total Recall. Did you
see? The new one?
The new one.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. Is it worth watching?
No. But okay. There's this one scene in it. There's this one scene where they actually use a person's hand as the cell phone. So embedded under the skin is a cell phone-like device. You know, so it glows through the skin.
Ooh, nasty. So you basically just hold your fingers up to your ear and go, hey, kind of like the old back to the CIA agent.
I'm telling you.
I'm about to take out the cook. Who's next?
Just a wee little surgery, and you've got your own embedded permaphone.
Yeah, but upgrades are going to be horrible, man.
Oh,
can you imagine having to do literally surgery to upgrade your phone?
Oh, my God, no. Yeah, I guess that would be bad. That would be bad.
Now, what would be more interesting, and I saw... God, I've got to find the link to this one, too. And you know, we'll have show links to all of this in our show notes when we put them out on the site. But there is a tattoo QR code, I think it was.
Oh.
Not the tattoo.
Yes.
No, but it was like an RFID, but
yes,
at the level of a tattoo. And did you send that link at some point? Yes.
I love that. I love that idea. So the whole premise of this is that there is embedded under the skin some level of circuitry.
Under the skin again. There you go.
Right, under the skin. Some level of circuitry. And apparently what they're trying to do is create an interface such that you're able to, again, manipulate devices just via thought. So, you know, here we go. Telekinesis via tech. Very interesting.
Yes, that was it. The telekinesis via tech. Oh, man. And you'll have to find that link and send it to me again.
I will. Because I just think that's pretty amazing.
So now let's think through this. How does this relate to the topic of our podcast, right? So the topic of a podcast, obviously, is how to use gaming technology in a business setting.
Yep.
And each of these different things... whether we're talking about embedded technology in your hand and your wrist, or whether we're talking about cool interfaces via your eyes, or dealing with things what's this thinking? This is my wrist. Wrist watches.
Watch.
Thank you. Watch. Each of these really are changing the interface that people have with computing devices. And one of the things that I've always found interesting is how the gaming industry, gaming technology, has led the adoption of these interesting interfaces. Whether it was The brainwave tools, right? Early on, you know, Emotive and other companies developed these things that actually look at your brainwaves and interact with computers. And the first use cases for most of these were, how do you play a game and manipulate things in the game with your brain?
Right.
Well, now you talk about all these really cool things and how they change the way you interact with each other in a business setting.
Exactly. So, because, again, the integrator between all these technologies is an easier, more natural way to interface with very complex data sets, whether that's biofeedback or whether that's gathering profile information from people that you're seeing at conferences, whatever the case might be, or even interacting with applications or even appliances within your house. All of these, it's the great integrator of data in such a way where it's completely natural. That's where this is moving.
Absolutely. And it was interesting. I was on a webinar yesterday that I was giving for the IEEE on part of my day job, which was looking at the integration of mobile and DevOps, right? And how the two play together with each other in such a way that allows businesses to improve their responsiveness and time to feedback with their applications. And one of the key things is, all these types of devices have this exponential explosion of data. So you're right on that we have more and more data that we then need to consume, interact with, understand, and do something about.
Okay, but that being said, I mean,
yes,
since we're talking about Google Glass and we're talking about the cool tattoos, QR codes underneath your skin, we can't talk about this without also talking about privacy.
Yes.
So I just got back from a trip to Germany. Which you may or may not know, they
have some of the strongest privacy rules in the world.
Exactly. If you go to the Google Street View in Germany, and you'll see a lot of things blurred out because they had a lot of issue. So I actually had a discussion with several Germans while I was there out in Hamburg. And there was a discussion about Google Glass and a true fear and reticence as to, you know, how is this tech going to be used? Is this going to be now hundreds, if not thousands, of not video cameras everywhere upon people's heads watching? I mean, what is this actually going to turn out to be?
Yeah, you know, that's a really key thing. And I was actually, I can't remember if we talked about this a while back. I know I talked about it with Michael, our other co-host, who's unfortunately unable to join us today. But I talked about it with him a while back. And there was, the idea is the social norms, right? Right now, you'll go to a restaurant and people will be sitting across from each other texting or making phone calls.
Yeah.
Right? Which, you know, I personally find rude. you know, if I'm sitting there in a restaurant with a person, I want to interact with that person, not with the 30 other people on my friend face feed. Right?
Right.
If you have this device that's attached to your face, so every time you're looking at somebody, you have the ability to capture, record, and process data about that person, I think it should be more than appropriate to ask that person to take it off.
Yeah, that's right? A good point, because you don't know if you're being recorded or not recorded or what kind of data they're gathering.
Yeah, even if there's a giant red light right between their eyes that comes on when they record, you know, I think it should be considered polite and polite company, and the answer should be, well, absolutely. Or if not, then you leave, right? To say, look, I understand you have this and you're recording your life, but I would rather not be recorded. Because not only is it just recording the conversation, but because of the technology, it knows location information.
But in the meantime, others might be wearing glasses around you, and the tech should be so good that they could pick up on your conversation and triangulate where you are.
And just imagine all of that data is going into one big database controlled by one company.
And according to Wired Magazine, they store their data in some big data warehouse in Utah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Conspiracy theorists. I don't know. It's a brave new world. A brave new world. Privacy is going to definitely be a major issue.
Yep. I think that's absolutely true. And you know, it's one of those things. A lot of times the technology runs out in front of, you know, the social norms, the regulations, the laws, etc. So it's exciting, it's fun, but it can be scary.
It can be very big brotherish. So watch this space. We're going to see, I think, some new policies and certainly some new cultural norms, like, you know, the removal of glasses in restaurants. Or maybe there'll even be signs kind of like, you know, no weaponry allowed here, no Google Glass allowed in the restaurants.
Absolutely. And you know, even though it's illegal in the U.S. to have these, there are rumors that certain restaurants and movie theaters actually have jammers that disable cell phones when you walk in.
Oh, that's interesting.
So how about if it just disables your Google glasses as you walk in?
That could very well be. Yeah, put it in gym locker rooms too while you're at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Phaedra, this has been fun and exciting. I know it's a short show this week based off of all the conflicts that just keep piling up on all of us right now. But thank you for an exciting set of topics today. This has been lots of fun.
It is always fun catching up with you, Michael. And thank you to our avid listeners. We appreciate you as well. And if you've got any feedback for us, please drop us a note.
Absolutely. We can be reached on Google+, on Facebook, on Twitter, or on our website at gamesatwork.biz. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.